In their respective Gospels, St. Matthew and St. Luke both assemble several essential teachings of the Lord Jesus, almost certainly spoken on many occasions in different places, into a single narrative presented as a sermon. In Matthew's Gospel, this is a long text, taking up all of chapters 5, 6, and 7. And Matthew situates this sermon on a high place, the Sermon on the Mount. In Luke's Gospel, this narrative is much briefer, just over half of chapter 6, and Luke has it taking place on a low level place, the Sermon on the Plain. Today is the center of three consecutive Sundays on which the Gospel is taken from the Sermon on the Plain, chapter 6 of St. Luke's Gospel. Last week, we heard the Lord teaching four blessings and four woes according to how we live our lives. And today, verses 27 to 38, is an expansion on the idea of the law of love. The first thing to be said is that these 11 verses are not a program for political or constitutional order of a society. This teaching of the Lord does not deprive societies of the capacity to identify and punish crime or to defend themselves against unjust aggression. And it doesn't even deprive individual persons of the capacity to identify and speak the difference between good and evil, whether of one's own actions or the actions of others. It's important that we clear away the misconceptions so that we can get to the heart of this teaching. For example, "stop judging and you will not be judged" is misinterpreted in our day to mean it's not even possible to tell the difference between good and evil, let alone to call evil by its proper name. That is not what the Savior is teaching. So if these verses are not about constitutional order of civil society, what are they about? The renovation of the human heart, the transformation of the human person after the fall from a child of wrath into the child of God by the grace of adoption. That's what St. Paul is hinting at in this morning's second lesson, where he contrasts Adam and Jesus, the first man and the second man, the natural man and the spiritual man. It is possible by grace through faith, after we have put on Christ, as Paul says to the Galatians, to live the life of the new creation even now, in the flesh, to live the heavenly life. And here, in Luke's Gospel, Jesus unfolds a bit for us what that looks like. These 11 verses contain phrases that echo in the imagination of our entire civilization. "Do to others as you would have them do to you," from the 18th century called the Golden Rule. "Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And the measure with which you measure will be measured out to you." In all of these sayings, what Jesus is proposing for us is something beyond justice. Every civilization in human history has sought to understand the concept of justice. What does it mean to be a just person? And what constitutes a just society? The most basic definition of all in the Western tradition is that justice is to give to each that which he is due. So to each person, we give the respect for personal dignity. We give honesty in word and deed. In societies, there is the rule of law, in which those who govern are bound by the same law as those who are governed. But Jesus is suggesting there is something more than justice. He acknowledges even sinners have honest business dealings with others. They loan money, they do deeds of charity, expecting the same in return. There must be something more. In another place, we are exhorted by him to be as holy as his heavenly Father is holy. And here, he identifies the essential quality of holiness. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. What does this mean? That we literally mean in the Our Father, that we ask from God exactly the extent of forgiveness that we extend to others. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Friends, this is a tall order. If we understood the power of those words, we would tremble in fear every time we say them. In June of 2015, a deeply disturbed young man named Dylan Roof, who for years had been twisted by an ideology of racial hatred, walked into Emmanuel AME Zion Church in Charleston and murdered 9 people in cold blood. They were gathered that evening to study the Bible together. When he was arrested and arraigned and had identified his motive as attempting to ignite a race war, the families of those he had murdered were allowed to speak to him. The world expected rage, fury. The world expected them to call out for his blood. That isn't what happened. Each person who spoke, while condemning the evil he had done, spoke not in favor of vengeance, but mercy. They extended forgiveness to this man who, for such a loathsome reason, had murdered someone they loved. People were transfixed by this unimaginable gesture of mercy. But what it tells us is that their study of the Bible had its intended effect. The Word of God had transformed their hearts. And they were able, not as a stunt for the cameras, but from the depths of their soul, to speak to this twisted, hate-filled man of the mercy of God. I said that these verses are not a program for organizing civil society. But imagine if in any given society, a majority of people lived according to this teaching, lived like those people at Emmanuel Church. It would be the transformation of any society in which the law of love was embraced and lived with integrity. Finally, one of the earliest and most noxious Christian heresies was the notion that there was a radical separation somehow between the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New. That Judaism was a religion of law and Christianity one of love. That's utter nonsense. And that's revealed in bright relief in the psalm we sang this morning, 103. The Lord pardons all your iniquities, heals all your ills. He redeems your life from destruction, crowns you with kindness and compassion. Merciful and gracious is the Lord, slow to anger and abounding in kindness. Not according to our sins does he deal with us, nor does he requite us according to our crimes. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he put our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. What the Lord Jesus taught in so many ways during his public ministry, recorded by both Matthew on the Mount and Luke on the plain, was summarized by the Savior in the night before his death. In words that should transform our lives every day. I give you a new commandment, Love one another as I have loved you.